This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church, the DeSoto County campus, the fun church in Horn Lake, Mississippi. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.
I want to share a little story. There was this woman, and there was this burglar. This burglar breaks into this woman's house. And this woman, a believer following Jesus, she shouts out, she says, Acts 2:38. And the burglar just stops. And the police get there, and they go to arrest this burglar. And the police asked the burglar, said, what caused you to stop? And he said, the woman said she had an axe and 2.38s. Hey, if the message don't go good, I got a few more of them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me introduce myself. I'm Brother Joe. I am the associate pastor here under Pastor Guy. It's an honor and a pleasure for him to be able to let me speak. But this morning, I want to share a message on the topic of the mind of Christ. And as you are a believer, you have the mind of Christ. And the title here, Learn How to Think Like Christ. Yes. Turn with me. Before we pray, I want to turn to this scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:16. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, church. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for hearts to be changed this morning. We pray for your word to be receptive and listen and take it and do something with it. Father God, give us ears to hear what you would have to say to us this morning. Lord, use me as an instrument. Holy Ghost, have your way in this place. Let us go different than we came, Father. Let us be changed in your presence and in your spirit. Jesus, have your way in this house this morning. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. What does the mind of Christ look like? Boy, I was praying and I said, Lord, show me. I prepared this message and I began to pray. And I said, Lord, I need this message more than the people. So this will be the best message. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you 10 characteristics of a person with the mind of Christ. Here's number one. I know exactly who I am. 18 times in the New Testament, Jesus defines who he is. Here's just a few of them. We're not going to turn on the screen, but I'm just going to reference real quick these to you. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Come on. Amen. I don't even want to go any further.
Come on, brother.
John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15:1, I am the true vine.
Yep.
Mark 14:62, I am the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus knew exactly who he was. As a believer, having the mind of Christ, we know exactly who we are.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Number two, let me share this with you. I know God's purpose for my life. Jesus knew his purpose and what he was sent here to do. And he knew his goal. Look right here in the Word of God in John 8:14. It says here, Jesus answered, and even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. Thank thank you, Jesus, that he knew his purpose. He knew who he was, and he knew his purpose, where he was going. Look right here in Luke 2:49. They're going to have it up on the screen. If you have your Bible, you're going to flip fast today. In Luke 2:49, I must be about my Father's business. You see? His purpose. He says, I'm going to be about my Father's business. In John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. But my purpose, Jesus' purpose, you with me? Is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. As we have the mind of Christ, and you realize, as you begin to pray and thank and meditate on the Word of God, you begin to think like Jesus. You think just like Christ thought when he was here on earth. As he knew who he was, he knew his purpose. And number three, I'm always aware that God is with me. God is with us this morning. God is in this place. His presence is so beautiful. I know people, I've prayed and laid hands on them. He said, what is that you got? And I said, that is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God here on earth. As we lay hands and hook up together as believers and brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord, there is power in unity. There's power in the presence of Christ. Power. So I'm always aware that God is with me. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? What does it mean? I asked myself, I said, Lord, what does it mean to be in the presence of God? Jesus made time to be in the presence of the Father. He took time to get alone and pray. He did. I asked myself, Lord, I must get alone and pray. Why am I so busy? Why do I catch myself in these situations? As I pray and I meditate on the Word of God, His presence is always right there. I can experience the presence of God. You see, as Jesus took time to get alone and pray, see, Jesus was always aware of God's constant care. Jesus was always aware. So how can we be aware of God's constant care? How? Prayer. We can be aware of God's constant care by prayer. So as we get alone and we pray, we are aware of God's constant care. Aware. In Luke 5:16, it says here, so he himself, Jesus, often, focus on that word often, withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Often is a habit. You see, something you create. I might get alone probably once a week. You may be asking yourself, I might get alone maybe once a month. The kids are driving me crazy. I'm speaking to mothers in here. Praise God. You with me? Single parents, you may say, what is he talking about? Often get away. I don't have time. But in Luke 5:16, as the word often begins to be a habit, we must start somewhere. We're going to start. We might not finish till Jesus arrives, but we're going to start. Amen? Amen. Look right here with me. How often do you slip away to pray a day? How often do you slip away and pray a day? You miss the very gifts of God when you fail to get with God. You miss them. I miss them. When you fail to take time out of your day and pray. You will get more done here, there, and everywhere if you'll pause in between for prayer. You'll get more done if you will stop here, there, and everywhere in between and pray. You see? Look right here. Sandwich prayer between here, there, and everywhere, and you will have more success in your life and get more done. You will. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I know I look holy up here, but let me tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, this message, that's why I told you, when I began to prepare this, I said, Lord, you called me to preach this message? He says, I'm telling you, preach this message, because the very thing that you are dealing with, my people are dealing with. There is an anointing on a humble heart that is willing to come to God and receive the very oracles of God and His Word as He speaks to His people. Look right here. And we're not going to go there, because this is just a reference. But man's problems come from an inability to sit still. In Psalms 46, the whole verse is, be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am God. You see, as you know who you are and you know your purpose and you're aware of God and you're aware of His care and He's around you, as you begin to focus on them three things, you begin to meditate and pray. But look at number four with me. I let God help me choose my words. I let God help me choose my words. That little girl, God, heal my mouth. God, heal my mouth. I said, God, heal my mouth. God, heal my mouth. Amen. Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. Reminds me of Kinley, my beautiful little three-year-old daughter. She's a mess. Jesus only said what He heard the Father say. Before we speak, pause, ponder, pray. You see, Jesus only said what He heard the Father say. So before we speak, pause, ponder, pray. You pause, ain't nothing there. Don't say nothing. That's the hardest thing. When somebody says something to you, and you have to just look at them and not say a word. But you're pausing. There's no response. You begin to ponder, why isn't there a response, Lord? There's still nothing. You begin to walk away in a nice, friendly way. Walk away in a nice, friendly way. As you pause, ponder, and pray, walk away in a nice, friendly way. Yeah. And go pray. And I promise you, when you pray, you will receive an answer from Jesus. Amen? Amen. Look right here in John 12:49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Would we have better relationships if we would let God tell us what to say and how to say it? Amen? That's for me. Hallelujah. Let me reach out and grab all that. If y'all don't want it, I'm taking that home with me. Would we have less conflict if we would wait for God to tell us what to say and how to say it? Amen. When we have the mind of Christ, God will tell us what to say and how to say it. Amen. As a believer of Christ Jesus, like it said in the Word, we have the mind of Christ. We have it. I begin to tell myself all week. Every time I begin to think a thought that I knew wasn't of God, I'd say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Number five, I don't worry about pleasing everyone. Amen. Now, this is a deep one. Now, I had put a lot of scriptures in this one. I did. Amen. We can only focus on pleasing God. Jesus lived for an audience of one. Turn with me to John 5:30. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus only tried to please the one will of the Father. Jesus did a good job. Yes. He did a wonderful job. As you look in the scriptures and see what Jesus did, He was all about pleasing the Father. He says, I'm all about pleasing the Father. In Matthew 3:17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You see, the Father was pleased with Jesus. How many in the house this morning would want to be pleased by the Father? Be pleased. The Father be pleased with us. Amen? Amen. Amen. The truth is, you can't please everyone. Amen. Even God can't please everyone. Everybody's praying this football team win. I pray we have a sunny day tomorrow so we can go golfing. And He is not willing to please everyone. But as we focus on pleasing Jesus and the Father, everything will be according to His will. In Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other. Yep. Pleasing the Father. You're either going to love the Father and hate the things of the world, or you're going to love the world and hate the Father. You cannot be divided. I've walked that fence, and every time I fall off and look like a fool. The Holy Spirit will reveal the very presence of God to each and every one of us. As we are new believers, we are believers in the New Testament. Jesus living on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit is here. That's why it says in the Word that you need no man to teach you, but the same anointing that taught me teaches you. You get alone and pray. Whose approval? Hold on. Jesus never let rejection or approval of anyone stop Him. Anyone. Whose approval are we depending on, God or man? God or man. Amen. God. Thank you, Jesus. Number 6. I depend on God's power instead of my own. I depend on God's power instead of my own. In John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most surely I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. In like manner. Lord, let me be in like manner of the very actual presence of the Father in Jesus. Here on earth, the Holy Spirit, He's walking with us, that we may have power here on earth. Just like He told the disciples, don't go until you receive power from on high. Let's wait in the presence of God for power. Jesus depends on the Father. How do we know if we are running on God's power or human power? This one really spoke to me because I've struggled. We are always tired. God's power never runs out. How many of us in the house this morning are just tired, just run down? I have to ask myself, am I running on my power or am I running on God's power? Lord, I need Your power. I need Your power, Lord. Number 7, I forgive my enemies and those who hurt me. I forgive my enemies and those who hurt me. You see, Jesus forgave. Look with me at Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You see, we should forgive because we don't want to hold on to the pain. We don't want to hold on to it. You see, Jesus forgave. He is giving us this beautiful principle of letting go. Letting go. You see, this pain, if you hold it, holding unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping it kills them. Meanwhile, it's killing me. It's killing me. I have to let go of it. Whether they forgive me or not, I have to forgive them. And go on. Go on. Jesus just didn't forgive. He said, you must return good for evil. In Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Amen? That's tough. That's tough. As we forgive, we take that forgiveness and we turn it around for the good and the glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, people, when you love like Jesus loves, there is no other love that I have ever experienced. I can't even love how much Jesus loved. I struggle every day to love like Jesus, but it's a goal that I press on to reach. I press on to reach that love. Because He said these two commandments, that you will love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And you'll love your neighbor likewise. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful word Jesus left us with. You say, I'm struggling with sin. I would say you're struggling with the way you love. With the way you love. Number 8. I am willing to sacrifice for others. John 10:14 in verse 15. Jesus sacrificed His life for us. Jesus sacrificed as we sacrifice for others. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. For to give His life as a ransom for many. This is the very true meaning of a Christian. As we sacrifice for others as Jesus has sacrificed for us. We lay our lives down each and every day for one another. Just like Christ laid His life down. There's our example as we walk in love, as we lay our lives down. Such a hard thing to do. You may be asking yourself this morning, you say, I'm busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I ask the Lord to use me. And the Lord would ask you, would you be still? That I may ask you to go and do something and lay your life down and help someone else, sacrificing your plans for the very plans of God. The very plans of God. When you give up your life is when we find true life in Christ. True life. As you have the mind of Christ and you focus on these characteristics. In John, well not John, but 1 John. I wanted to say John 3:16 and we could all quote it. But as I began to pray and seek out the Word, I thought of this scripture and I said, this is such a beautiful scripture in 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We lay it down, just like Christ laid it down. Number 9. We're right on time. Y'all gonna get to the buffet and beat the Baptist, praise God. I should have gave you 3 jokes instead of 1. Number 9. I want to do God's will, not mine. I want to do God's will, not mine. In John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me, the very will of the Father. Jesus didn't do what He wanted to do. He was about doing the Father's will, about doing the very will of God. You have a will that is not God's will. But when you follow God's will, we find our true will here on earth. As I ask myself, Lord, as I focus and put Your will first in my life, how do I know that I'm not doing my will and I'm doing Your will? He says, as you read the Word, my will lines up right with the very Word of God. The very Word of God. Look here in John 14:31. In 14:31, but I will do what the Father requires of me. How many in the house this morning would love to do what God requires of us so that the world will know that I love the Father? Thank you, Jesus. Do you want the world to know you love God?
Yes.
Amen. I do. I want the world to know when they see me, they say, man, there's something different about him. I don't know if it's good or bad, but there's something different about him. But I pray as they seek it out, they'll find the very presence of God. Jesus. It leads them to Jesus. I might sometimes not do the best job, but praise God, He does a good job. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy. Dada. Dada. That's so precious. All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. You see, it wasn't about what we want, but it was about what the Father sent Jesus to do. And it was painful. I can't even imagine the pain that Jesus went through. But sometimes you suffer for the benefit of others. It's called redemptive suffering. You see, you may be asking yourself this morning, you say, what I'm going through is so painful. It hurts. I don't know if I can go any further. And I'm going to ask you, call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord and His strength as you get alone and pray to Him. He will give you the strength to overcome any situation. But as we suffer for others, there is a redemptive suffering. Because Christ suffered, we must also suffer. We must. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the very point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Jesus humbled himself as the Father exalted him. If we'll humble ourselves, God will lift us up. Amen. He'll lift us up every time. I have to call on Him. Jesus. Jesus. Sometimes I can't say nothing but Jesus. I can't even pray. I done been through it in my mind. I said, well, if I pray out loud, will it work? If I pray to myself, when nobody can hear me, will it work? But He just says, pray. I don't care how you pray. But as you pray, He will make a way. As you pray, He will make a way. Last point. I think with an eternal perspective. Amen. You see, Jesus seen an eternal purpose in the pain and a reward past the pain. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There is a reward past the pain. Amen. The only way we will survive in this life is to look past the pain toward the reward in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're not doing this for nothing. We're, I mean, people make fun of me all day, every day. You're a hypocrite. You need a crutch. Well, I tell you what, if this crutch has delivered me from drug addiction and brought me out of the world, I'm going to keep crutching that joke. Plump to the house. You hear me? I mean, I might not have but one crutch, but praise God, that crutch will be Jesus to the day He comes back. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have Jesus on our side. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Jesus on our side. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it and that it inspires you to live out God's Word. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.